It is 5:05 here in Anchorage, Alaska. We are at the Legislative Information Offices in room 220. Online, I see that we have a couple people, and we'll get to those in just a few minutes. If anyone has cell phones in the audience today, it is very a sensitive system here, and it needs to be turned off and not just on vibrate, or I will start humming, and it will be very difficult to hear. With me this afternoon is co-chair Gabriel Ledoux, Representative, I'm just going to draw a blank, Woody Salmon, Representative Kurt Olson, Representative Sharon Sista, and myself, co-chair Representative Anna Fairclough. Today, we have had a request from a member, Representative Bill Stoltz, to have in Anchorage a public hearing on HB 23, which is an act related to limit on the amount by which the assessed value of property may be increased for the purposes of municipal property tax, and House Bill 24, which is a property assessment appeal fee. There has been some discussion and phone conversation saying whether we can take an action at all to reopen the public hearing. Both of the public hearing on both of these bills have been closed. Ledge Legal has concurred that we can take a vote to reopen public hearing on these two items. Is there any objection at the committee level to reopening public hearing? Seeing none, Representative Stoltz, the committee will hear HB 23 and HB 24. If you could join us at the table, I'd just like to ask a couple questions.
Thank you, Madam.
Representative Stoltz, would you like us to take them one at a time, or can we open them both together?
I'll go ahead and identify myself. Bill Stoltz, House District 16, serving the communities of Chugiak and rural Matsu. And
I was going to see if you were ringing us for donuts, Representative Stoltz.
And I'm at your disposal.
Would you like to speak to HB 20? I'd like to open the public hearing together, so if anybody wants to speak, they can speak on both bills. It doesn't appear that we're going to have to limit public testimony, but if a crowd does enter the room, as far as multiple people, we will set the public testimony at 3 minutes. Representative Stoltz, would you like to introduce your bill?
Sure. And they're fairly simple, short bills, but with obviously with far-reaching policy ramifications. You've almost described the bills by reading the titles. They're that one is limiting, putting a governor on the rate of property tax assessments. It's arbitrary, and we discussed in the previous committees. This was just my starting point, and I wanted to work with the committee at as we are in a position where we can take substantive action on the bill to look at compromises potentially that would send this progressive measure on its way to the next stop in the legislative process. Certainly there was a lot of discussion and very valid concerns raised on its how it impacts the education formula, and my staff, James Armstrong, has been working on it. It's not an easy nut to crack, and it's only as simple as
It's not your representative still to if anyone has a cell phone on or anything electronic, video games or anything else, we make sure they're off. Yeah, a pacemaker might be doing it.
And it's a short bill, but it has some of the same complexities as the foundation formula, because there are anytime you're moving one piece, it affects another piece of our whole budget puzzle. And we've been working with Eddie Jeans and other members of Department of Education, and Mr. Armstrong has some experience in that on the issue of education funding, and is trying to crack the nut. We haven't gotten there, but really what we had hoped, given that the legislature was meeting in Anchorage, to have an opportunity to have the public input portion of this. Whether or not this grand experiment works out or not, I at least wanted to have the opportunity, and I sure appreciate. On the issue of the tax appeal fees, we certainly discussed that one as well. I view that as a due process issue, and I've certainly, after the last hearing we had, I went through one with my mother. Boy, it was the very complicated issue. It was eventually resolved in her favor, but it wasn't a simple process. We probably put a day and a half of work into putting that together, complete with pictures, and it was, in our case, I didn't introduce this bill because of any personal issue, but right after we had this measure, we went through an appeal process with my mother's property, primarily my sister went through the process. It certainly was a very difficult one, and even afterwards, she had to jump through a lot of hoops, and they made it very clear they wanted to look. We put in a packet that showed that the house would be demolished, and there was a construction company's demolition bid with a schedule, and which will happen here fairly soon. They still said, "Well, we want to eyeball it ourselves," and it was a. And so it encompassed means, including her going to a meeting. Materials got to her after the date, and if she hadn't fortuitously went to an appeal process meeting, just because my mom was always worried, she would have lost her appeal bid. And it's not as simple as you've heard through previous testimony, and I only know that through one anecdotal. So it's there is a significant due process issue. I'm even more concerned than I was when we encountered this, and my mother and my sister were told, and there's some guy down in Juneau that's trying to change the law on this way, and it may really screw us all up. So it's wondering how it's really interesting how these things hit home. So that's I want to prohibit charging an appeal fee, and I certainly would as we're developing possibility of passing the bill, even limiting it to one residential appeal as a compromise, as I think we've discussed in casual conversation in the past. So I'm looking at those are the crux of both the bills, and I've talked longer than I had intended to.
There are questions, but just for the record, there have been some questions that have come to the committee chairs asking why we were here today. And for the record, did you request the committee to have this hearing this evening?
Yes, I did, and we months and months ago about having it sometime during the interim, and this certainly worked out to be a good opportunity. The fact when folks that do travel in were already coming here.
And just I'll speak on behalf of myself as co-chair and let Representative Ledoux follow up. The reason Representative Ledoux and I, out of courtesy first off to a fellow member of the legislature, but also because the special session is being held and this was adjacent so that the state wouldn't incur any additional expenses, was a reason why the committee decided to take this up this time. Certainly other bills would receive the same thought process to see how much it would cost to bring people together to talk about things. We don't typically hear bills during the interim in this committee, but chose to make that exception because we could accommodate it at what we considered a limited cost to provide the opportunity for the public to participate here in Anchorage. So, Representative Ledoux, did you have a question or follow-up?
I didn't have a question about that. I mean, I agree totally with what you just said, but I have a question for Representative Stone.
Representative Ledoux.
You were talking, Representative, about how complicated it is to do an appeal, correct?
That's just an anecdotal. I sure came across one firsthand.
But I guess I'm just wondering how eliminating the fee will reduce the complications.
Why, Madam Chair, Co-Chair, I don't believe it. I don't believe it will. I think that was I sure sense that there was when somebody had filed an appeal that the local government didn't have certainly was wanted to go out of their way to try to prove that their assessments were correct, and that's maybe that's where the complications arose. I think it's probably a natural feeling among anybody, ourselves included, not wanting to be shown wrong when we've so adamantly affirmed that we're right.
Representative Ledoux,
do you think, though, that there might be something that could be done, maybe not in this bill, but in another bill somewhere along the line, to streamline or to make the appeals process more user-friendly?
Representative Stoll.
It might be. That really gets down. I've been accused of micromanaging local governments, and I'd be happy anything I can do to help local governments make it easy on property taxpayers. So I'll do anything they want me to do to help my property taxpayers. But I'm not trying to be facetious, but I don't have any specific ideas.
Representative Ledoux, any follow-up?
No follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Stoltz. For the record, we have been joined by Representative Bob Lynn. Representative Lynn, you're welcome to join us at the table if you'd like. With that, Representative Stoltz, we're going to open public hearing on HB 23 and HB 24. We have been joined by Co-Chair of Finance, Representative Chenault. I want to say good morning to everyone, good afternoon, good evening, I guess it is now. Is there anyone here who would like to testify on either HB 23 or HB 24? Looks like I have a list coming forward. Paul, if you'd like to come forward. Mr. Kendall? Actually, we do have people online. I'm just... Mr. Kendall, would you like to testify on HB 23 or HB 24?
Well, I have not studied either one of the bills, okay? The reason I am here is I had heard that there was going to be a public comment possibility about property tax, and I happen to have feelings about property tax, and I wanted to come and voice my opinion about those if I might.
HB 23, you need to speak to the bills before us. HB 23 limits the annual increase of municipal property tax, I believe, to 2%.
Well, what I wanted...
The growth in HB 24 is about a property tax appeal, so you probably want to confine your remarks to HB 23.
Well, when you say confine your remarks, I'm not sure what that means, whether I have to be an attorney or just the spirit of the community. Anyway, here's what I'd like to just leave my comment, okay? It's my belief that what we've lost the sense of the American dream. The American dream was to be a homeowner and to have individual liberties. And sometimes we forget that individual liberty comes before democracy. And sometimes we forget that those things that hold us together, some things transcend individual differences or ideologies or gender and races and things like that. And one of those things is a single-family dwelling. This country was founded upon owning a home to work most of your life, to struggle, to be innovative, or to sacrifice to own that home. And it seems to me that lately I have seen more and more increase in property tax, and there's always a rationale or some type of scale used that another person has it better or worse. It would be my position that all property tax should be stopped. At least, say, 1,000 square feet with an attached garage or under, and some other methodology or form that would be used to feed those essential services that we might decide as a society. The other thing that bothers me is that the means of communication by which we have available to us as a collective society seem to be becoming, it's flawed in some way. Citizens who want to come to the city council to talk or to the stage are limited to 2 minutes. They're usually not invited guests, but there's some long, contemplative, thoughtful dialogue. Everything is hurried into some type of a crunched format so that you can't extend it out for redress or a greater perspective. So when you look at what's happening, the desire for more and more revenue at any cost, naturally that we would pick on would be the most vulnerable and the most able to be gotten at, which is the homeowner. So I'm going to suggest to you, and the reason I came here was that we should stop property tax altogether in 1,000 square feet with an attached garage. And I do that to establish, to renew the debate about what a society is and what essential services are. We're not only being assaulted from that end of it, I can't imagine working all your life to have to pay $3,000 a year in property taxes. And then there are other fees. But we're also becoming approached, or I should I seems to be economic assaulted or plundered, quite frankly. But when you look at the water, that's rates are going up. When you look at gas is going up. When you look at electricity going up, gasoline. And I think I mentioned to you folks before, but there are five sectors, and those are military, industrial, commercial, residential, and institutions. when you look at the residential applications and you take out the single-family homeowner, that individual is literally being pushed out of the market, and that market is the American dream. So I came here to call for a new perspective on it, to open it up and look at it all over again. I should have come more prepared, and I apologize for that, but it was in a spirit of feeling some concern that I just can't. It's difficult to have the dialogue because as I look at this, we're opening up more and more sectors of social services, of wants and needs, 94 languages, and we just seem to be expanding this. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, it seems to be some form of disarray, of loss of some vision. I have a military in Iraq spending $600 billion killing little children, building them schools at the same time. And in my community, I'll bring this to a close, okay. And in my community, they can't afford to get a baseball uniform or they're quibbling over a book or a school. And we have just become tribal in sectors, and I think that's because of a lack of vision, and I think we're better than that. And if we focused on the single-family home, realizing that it is the one thing that outside of our primal drives that unites us all. It doesn't see race, creed, color, sex, gender, income. It only sees that you need shelter. And that is a fundamental right to own a home and to have a dwelling. And it should transcend corporate profit. That's nothing that bothers me. The corporations are here because we constructed a society to afford them an opportunity to be prosperous. We didn't afford them an opportunity to economically plunder us across the board in various sectors by influence or strength of size or capital to advertise with. And so I think it's all time we all became a family again and saved our home and our means of communication and dialogue. I guess that's
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Kendall. Are there questions from committee members? There are none. Thank you for coming out today. If there are new people arriving in the audience, there's a sign-up sheet if you'd like to testify right by the door. If you'd sign in, that would be helpful. We have several people online. Larry Simmons, I probably said it wrong, City of Kenai Finance Director. Are you online, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
I show that you're wanting to speak to HB 23.
Yes, and I've got a brief comment on 24 as well, if you'll give me that liberty.
Please proceed.
My name is Larry Simmons. I'm the finance director of the City of Kenai. I'm speaking against House Bill 23. This type of manipulation of taxation is very ill-conceived and results in significant inequities in taxes paid by individuals, as well as severely impacting the ability of municipalities to provide services. For example, if an individual builds a $250,000 house, the taxes on that home would be calculated at the full and true value. His neighbor, though, has a home that's much larger and has a fair market value of $400,000. But the neighbor's house has not been improved lately, so the assessed value is limited to $200,000 due to the impact of House Bill 23. So while one homeowner pays taxes on the full market value of the property, another pays on a much smaller value, even though the market value of his house is significantly higher. Most people would view this as inequitable. Why the sponsor of this bill is interested in creating this type of inequity in property tax in the property tax system is a mystery to me. Many communities in the organized part of Alaska are highly dependent on property taxes to provide revenues to pay for services. If House Bill 23 were to pass, assessed values would grow very slowly and would cause municipalities to either increase mill rates, cut services, or find other sources of revenue. Taxation in general is understandably not popular. However, services provided by municipalities do not come free, and the cost of doing business for local governments, along with every other business, is increasing. Many municipalities provide services like police, road maintenance, emergency services, which are provided by the state of Alaska in many areas of the state. If municipalities are not able to provide these services due to lack of revenue, will the state of Alaska step in and provide them? It seems unlikely. Although I'm sure the state of Alaska has the power to enforce the provisions of HB 23, I certainly hope that the majority of legislators will realize that the impacts of these provisions will be very difficult for municipalities to deal with. This type of legislation has been implemented in other states with very unpleasant results. Municipalities are forced to make unpopular decisions in either raising revenues or cutting services or both. Individuals in these states cannot be happy with the grossly inequitable taxation policy. Finally, I have to say that HB 23 is an obvious impediment to development. Since taxation of new construction would be much higher than on similarly valued existing structures, developers will be put at a competitive disadvantage. House Bill 23 is a really bad idea. There are better ways. Frankly, already in statute, there are residency exemptions and other exemptions that deal with problems associated with values of homes in particular. They're already in statute. This is an area that I hope the legislature leaves alone. Municipalities depend on property taxes, and we need the ability to deal with it. And it really is a local issue. Regarding House Bill 24, I support efforts of municipalities to limit frivolous appeals. I believe that many of the municipalities that have appeal fees will refund the appeal should the appellant win their case. And I think that's a good way to handle it. So that concludes my testimony. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you, Larry. Representative Olson.
Larry, Kurt Olson here. Have you penciled this out? I think I've known you long enough to know that you probably either come up with a percentage or dollar amount of the impact on the city, have you?
Well, Representative Olson, what would happen is that in a 10-year period, I was just looking over some of the materials here, in a 10-year period with current rates of inflation on properties in Anchorage, let's say 12 to 15% is what I was reading here, you would have the kind of disparity that I listed in my example. So going forward, municipalities will see their ability to generate property taxes just dry up or stay flat at best, and we will not be able to keep up with inflation. I haven't actually calculated it, but because it varies year to year as far as the market value of property tax increase versus 2%, but clearly most years property increases faster than 2%, so municipalities would be forced to raise the tax rate or find another revenue source, and I just don't think those are good options.
Thank you, Larry. There are no further questions from committee members.
Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Are you going to stay online? Because Representative Stoltz will follow up at the end, so he may be offering some answers to your questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bob DeCotch in Juneau?
Activities. I'm just here to listen as a reporter, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir. They had checked yes, and so I just wanted to make sure if you wanted to comment today.
I'd love to interview you after the meeting.
Thank you, sir.
What a treasure.
For committee members, too, we do have the state assessor, Stephen Van Zandt, as well as Ron Brown in the audience from the state assessor's office. If you have questions that you'd like to ask of the state assessor's office after we finish public testimony. Kathy Wasserman. Are you online?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you for the opportunity to testify. As stated before, the Alaska Municipal League and the municipalities throughout the state are adamantly opposed to House Bill 23. I noticed in the press release that this meeting was going to be held closer to the people who are affected by increasing property taxes, and it's just we all need to remember that property taxes are levied by almost every borough and first-class city throughout the state. So this is not just an Anchorage or MATSU issue. This is throughout the state. I think that this would unfairly shift the burden to businesses. The need for this property tax does not go away. It simply shifts the burden to businesses. And I think that's a horrible message for us to give to the businesses of the state of Alaska, that we're going to begin to cap property tax on residential areas, but you businesses can take up the slack. And I would think that there would be a huge repercussion from that. I also would hope that when the committee or anyone else thinking about this bill, before anything were to be passed out of this committee, they might think about the repercussions that this might bring to such things as education funding, because local school contributions are based on property tax assessments. And how would this bill affect the education contributions that are made to our schools? Would there be the need to catch up, and who would cover that catch up? Would it be the state? I kind of doubt it, so it perhaps would be the municipalities, or as stated before, mill rates would have to go up, which would really not take away the burden. It would just, again, shift it around. Many times I've heard that seniors are the issue here, but there are already senior citizens' property tax exemptions up to the value of $150,000, and tomorrow I know the legislature will again address the needs of seniors. So I think a lot of questions need to be answered about this bill. I think it would be devastating to municipalities. Services are needed and wanted by the residents of each of these boroughs and cities, and so property taxes are a direct result of that. As far as House Bill 24, I was going to ask the same question as Representative Ledoux, in that I think taking away an appeal fee would certainly not take away the hoops that someone needs to jump through. And if that much work is involved by a person appealing their taxes, think of how much work is involved by the municipalities that have to actually work on those appeals as well. Each community, and there are only three in the state that do collect an appeal fee, each of them have a fee structure that is very, very low. The Ketchikan Gateway Borough does not even charge their fee until the second appeal has been filed, and Anchorage and Kenai charge $30 on the first $100,000 and $100 up to $500,000. So it certainly keeps the amount of appeals down. It would certainly make one stop and think before they appeal, just hoping that perhaps they can adjust their property tax level. Again, I would hope the committee would think about these bills very carefully. I think they could be very problematic for municipalities, and as you well know, taxes still are a local provision that we have, a local authority, and I think the people in local government who work closest with their constituents on these issues can be the ones to make the decisions on how those local taxes will work. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony this evening. Are there any questions from committee members? There are none, Kathy. Thank you for your additional comments.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else online in any of the LIOs throughout the state? For the record and for everyone's edification, the committee cannot move this bill. We are in the interim, and we cannot take official action. This has been a courtesy to a fellow representative to do community outreach in the Anchorage area, right next to the special session, so that we could use those dollars effectively as far as bringing people together at the special session and incorporate this to see how many people would like to testify on this particular issue. With that, we'll move into our audience. Brian Betts. Sir, we have two bills before us, HB 23 and HB 24. If you could just tell us which one you're speaking to, and you're welcome to speak to both.
I'll speak to both if I can.
That's great.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. My name is Brian Betts. I moved here to Anchorage in the latter part of 2005. I found it a very nice city, very comfortable. I've moved from San Diego, and I did like the city. I found a house that was vacant, been vacant for 2 years, had no running water, had no heating, considerable roof leaks. The house is falling in the center. It's still on house jacks. Yet the city has come in and raised my property value, 85, or my total value, 85%. I had to pay $100 in order to appeal this. It was appealed. The property value was then taken down to $122,000. And subsequently, it was later taken down to $117,000, still a 40% increase for a house that had no running water. It did at the time have running water. I still have no furnace in it. The house is still on floor jacks. The roof still leaks. Yet the city came in and still says the house went up 40%. I understand that land value went up. I grew a very nice garden there, and I think the land is very valuable because it gave me some beautiful crops this year and last. I just think that, first of all, that I can't believe, I'm just really, I'm taken back by the city's arrogance that a house that really had no value, anybody but myself, could possibly go up 85% after the city came and looked at it. They came and looked at it. They took pictures. They saw everything, and they still said that it went up from $85,000, which I paid for it, to $145,000. They would not accept the value that I paid for that house, which is $85,000. It sat on the market for over 60 days. It was on the market for anybody to buy it, anybody wanted it to. It just makes me think that I'm probably one of the most smartest real estate investors in this town, that I could purchase a house and have it go up from $85,000 to $145,000 in just 1 year without doing anything but sticking a fake fireplace in it and running some water. My shampoo would freeze to my tub. My doors would freeze in the morning. I was really upset. I'm still upset about it, as you can gather. I think that the $100 fee for people to appeal should be appealed, because there is true reason for people to appeal their property taxes. If they feel like they've been unjustly overtaxed, then I think that there should be an appeal free of charge. I didn't know about this. I heard it on a local radio station, and I come down here to just voice my opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate you taking the time to come down.
Thank you very much.
Any questions from committee members? Representative Lynn.
Where's your property located?
In Spinard.
Thank you.
A D-rated house. Had a D rating. It's in a D neighborhood. Anyway, thank you very much again. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Dave Wolf.
Sure. I appreciate you letting me come in and say a few words about House Bill 23. My name is Dave Wolf. I've lived in Chugiak for the last 5 years and have been in the Anchorage area since 1998, off and on serving with the military. I've owned two homes, in the one in the Anchorage area and then our house in Thunderbird Falls now, which we've been in for 5 years. When we initially moved into our home in 2002, we were valued at somewhere around $200,000 as an assessed value. And as of our 2007 assessment, we are over $300,000 on our assessed value. So you can imagine what that's done to our property tax bill over the last several years. We are a large family. We have six children. Two of those are our foster children that we're taking care of. We obviously don't have a whole lot of control over our paycheck. It's not like you can pick up an overtime shift when you're in the military. You're pretty much getting paid the same this year and next unless you can manage to get yourself promoted. So trying to take care of that property tax bill over the last several years as it's gone up incrementally. I've got a couple of best math figures that I could do based on what I've got. The 2% increase that is proposed in the bill sounds really good when I'm looking at 13% increase from 05 to 06 and another 10% increase from 06 to 07, and that's even with the great charity $20,000 tax credit that the city threw in for us last year. still ends up being a 10% increase. I'm looking at from 06 to 07, almost a $30,000 increase in our assessed value, which I just thought was pretty excessive. We've done no visible improvements to the assessor unless they've snuck inside of our house in the middle of the night. They wouldn't have any idea that we've done any improvements at all whatsoever, so it's not a matter of the property is worth a whole lot more money than it was before. We've done a few things, but nothing significant. We also have been, since the very beginning, every time we get our property tax bill, we think that we are going to go ahead and try to do an appeal, but we realize the cost involved with that and the danger involved in that also with of course, having, I don't want to speak bad about the assessment process at all, but having the assessors come into the home is always a risky thing because you could end up worse off than what you started with if you're not careful. And we've looked at our property tax bill, and we have an extra chimney and an extra bedroom, according to the city, that we would like to get taken off there, but we're not real keen on going and doing that process of appealing it. So I'd just like to say that I think that any time that we can try and limit the out-of-control property tax situation in the city of Anchorage, we should take advantage of it. And if it means that there are going to be some extreme cases where some folks may have to be uncomfortable because of that, I think it's worth it for the thousands and thousands of people that are just regular middle-class homeowners trying to raise a family, or our elderly population who's living on a fixed income. I think if it's helping them out, then we're doing pretty good for the 80 or 90% of the people, and then we can hopefully help out those other 10% in some other way. But the last thing that I wanted to say was I know several families who have left Alaska and want to come back and cannot. They have to look for property in Willow or Talkeetna or something like that if they want to come back up here and then drive 2 hours to work, just because there's no way that people who left here in 1998 or 99 with the value of the homes going up and the property taxes on top of that, it just makes it unreachable for a person to even try and move back up here. And these are people who would be great upstanding members of the community and an asset to Anchorage and the valley, and they just can't do it. They stay down in Kentucky on their 40-acre farm where they don't pay any property taxes and it only costs $100,000. So I think we would be helping out, attracting some more people to come back up here that we'd like to have. So that's all I've got to say. If there's any questions, I'd love to answer them.
Thank you, sir. Just for the record, Representative Newman does have his, I believe, chief of staff is the right title, in the audience, Rex Shattuck. And Mr. Betts, I don't know if you've filed for the $20,000 exemption, but this committee did pass through our committee already an increase for that particular exemption to $50,000 if it passes through all the House. So this committee did hear that particular non-mandatory exemption that local communities can take on to themselves. For the record, Representative Sisna has a question for you, sir.
Thank you, and thank you, sir. And actually, Representative Faircloth just kind of answered, or possibly answered, my question to you, and that is, and I certainly do appreciate your testimony, and I've been traveling to communities around the state looking at actually health issues, but just the survival prospects for these communities and people in the communities, people throughout the state, and of course, away from Anchorage, it's much worse than it is here, but it is tough here. At the very same time, and I have a question of our tax assessor relevant to this after I ask you your question, the question to you, but that improved value of your home, it's taxes, but it's also, as we spend years and years paying for that home, it also means that that's our nest egg at the end of our working years that actually we live on. And so the enormous increase in my property is, I think, five times as expensive as when I first started paying for it, means that they have some real value there. And so that is something that's of value. It is an investment that grows even though the taxation end of it's there. So have you thought about that? And the other part of the question was, have you sought exemptions? Have you? Because I'm a former foster parent as well, and that has an enormous hardship on you and your property, as a matter of fact. And so exemptions must apply to you. Have you looked at that?
We've done what we can to lower our property tax bill. And then to answer the first part of your question, ma'am, absolutely, that's a wonderful increase. Is going to be great. Obviously, being in the military, they're going to send me away from here eventually, and then I'm going to try and come back here to retire. And the prospects for me to come back and be able to afford to buy something here are pretty slim. Again, I'm probably going to have to look further out into a different community that's further away from Anchorage. And some of that is because of the property tax bill as well. I think it would be easier for me to not realize that gain and keep the house for another long period of time before I would sell it, because of the fact that once I do sell it, I'm going to have to either put that money aside and save it for when we come back up here, or figure out some other way to make a lot more money when we do come back up here. So I can't afford to do it. And yes, of course we've sought those exemptions with the municipality and tried to figure out ways to lower that bill. Yes.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Stoll.
I just have a real problem here. I finally got somebody that likes the bill as my constituent, and they're talking about moving out here. We got to fix this problem.
Thank you, Representative. We also have the parent of an Eagle Scout, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So, yes. Coming from our neck of the woods, we recognize some of the members and some of the constituents in our audience tonight. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your testimony.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Appreciate that. Vicki, I saw you walk in, and so instead of sending staff back, would you like to testify this evening? Andrew? You're next, ma'am.
Okay.
At least signed up. If you're here to testify, if you'd please sign up or just raise your hand, I'll bring you up. Vicki, I think you're next.
Hi, I'm glad to have you here.
Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Vicki Cantrell. I live in Anchorage, and I've lived here for a very long time, so I have a long history of assessed value increases. And I was just calculating. I just heard about this session on the radio this afternoon, so I quickly added up some of my Excel sheet numbers to try to tell you, and I hope this is accurate, but since in the last 3 years, since 2004, my assessed value has gone up $245,000, which is a 70% increase. And the problem is that I've just now got to be 65. So it negates all the relief I would have gotten, probably, and I'm very happy to have, by the way. But it has eliminated the relief I would normally have gotten, maybe, if the value hasn't increased so substantially over the last 3 years. It's phenomenal. The tax itself went up from, in 2004, the tax was $5,700, and now it is $8,700, which means, and that's before the exemption, so I haven't calculated it with the senior exemption, but that's over $800, almost $800 a month for a person that's retired living in the same house that was built in 1972, which I haven't done too much to except keep the roof from leaking. And I just think that's kind of out of line. I don't know how it can be stopped. And, of course, I have two sons who live here, and I couldn't even will them, or they couldn't buy my house because they couldn't afford the heat, which has gone up according to the radio 50% in that same time period. So you see how it's increasing.
Are there any questions from committee members? Well, first I want to thank you for your service, Vicki, to our community. Those of you around the table may not know, but Vicki was a deputy municipal clerk for many years for the city of Anchorage and has served and understands these processes very well. So I appreciate you coming out. Usually Vicki is testifying on elections, at least in my experience with her.
So I wish all of you members good luck on getting this bill passed, and thank you for bringing it.
Vicki, we can't move it today, just so that you know.
Yeah, this will be for the next session that is in.
Yes, and we have heard it before when we were in Juneau previously.
I have to pay attention more.
No, we appreciate you taking the time. That is the end of the list that I have to testify on HB 23 and 24. Are there anyone in the audience this evening that would like to testify on either bill? Is there anyone that's joined us online that would like to testify on HB 24 or HB 23? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to close the public testimony on HB 23. I'd like to close the public testimony on HB 24. Representative Sisna?
I did have a question of Mr. Van Zandt.
Certainly.
If that's possible.
Yes.
Yeah. And I always struggle with these concepts that I don't have a professional background in real estate, but as I understand this issue of the property tax, is that it's based on the assessment that it's based on the value of the property, and that the private sector also has its own assessments that real estate appraisers develop for property and that it's sold for. And that, at least in my neighborhood, the property tax assessment on my own home and the real estate appraisals that are done for property like mine and that they're selling for, like hotcakes actually, is much higher actually than what the municipality taxes me at. Now, am I off base here, and is maybe my neighborhood different, or what is kind of the standard, and maybe I don't understand this right, but what is the standard statewide of municipal assessment versus real estate for sale assessment?
For the record, my name is Steve Van Zandt, State Assessor with the Department of Commerce. Through the Chair, Representative Sisna, the assessments are required by law at the current time to represent market value. We all know that the market in Alaska, especially Anchorage and the valley where I live, has been astronomical. The increases are tremendous. And I might say that even my own house has gone up quite a bit, lots over the last several years. The most municipalities on residential property are pretty close to market. Now, there's going to be extremes. There's going to be highs and lows. There's no doubt about that. There's going to be those properties, and we hear the anecdotes all the time about this house going up 5,000%, or maybe this one only going up 1% when everybody else is going up 50. Those things happen. You know, mistakes happen, and then we find properties that the assessor was either over-assessed on or under-assessed on and needed to catch up. In general, in Anchorage, they're in the neighborhood of between 90 and 95% of market value. So if a house is worth $100,000, for example, that they're assessing it, say, $95,000. Many cases, they're getting very good in Anchorage about being at market value. So if a house is selling for $200,000, they're probably between $195,000 and $205,000. You can't get exact on everything, not when you're dealing with thousands of properties. They got 100,000 properties here that they're trying to value every year with like 25 people. So not everyone, and it's not an exact science. You're not going to get the exact numbers all the time. We find in many cases that the assessed values because we're always looking at market value, and we're a non-disclosure state. So the assessors have to beg and steal the information that they get, so it's not always easy to get the market data. Usually when people appeal, that's when they do get the data, so they're always playing catch-up and trying to get these things. And not all property sells. In certain neighborhoods, you won't have sales for several years, and then all of a sudden you'll find sales coming up. The assessor may have thought that the values were more, and then finally in that 1 year they find the sales coming through and they finally raise it to that value. So that's when you see the tremendous increases. So I guess the bottom line is there are many times when the assessed values will be lower than market value, but in residential property, typically they're right up there, and there will be neighborhoods where, for whatever reason, the assessor may not get the information, so they may be lacking. You know, I don't know until you look at it to find out what happened. But if the sales prices are available to the assessor, that's what they're looking at. And we're looking at two different things. We're looking at, yes, the market's hot. The market's been going up. The assessed values simply reflect what the market is. It's not the assessors out there trying to dictate what market value is. They're just trying to reflect what the market's actually doing out there. So they're not making market value. They're simply trying to follow it. So does that answer your question?
Okay. Thank you. That does help.
Thank you, Mr. Van Zandt. For the record, I have failed to acknowledge staff for Representative Dahlstrom has been in the audience the entire time. So thank you for joining us, Kelly, on behalf of Representative Dahlstrom. She does have an excused absence today. Representative Soltz, do you have any closing thoughts for the committee?
Well, first,
and if we're joined by anyone from the audience, I will ask the committee to reopen. I've been watching.
Sure. Thank you. First, I'd like to thank the committee for this opportunity. We didn't have a volume, but we certainly heard folks that I didn't expect to show up, including one of the folks from my area that came in and expressed concerns that are real concerns. You know, it's the fellow from the city of Kenai. I have a little bit of, he expressed why I would be interested in intentionally creating inequity. That's not my. I think we've had lopsided inequities created by uncontrollable market forces. Where we have property owners paying the burden, especially in this municipality where we're sitting, including the Matsu Borough, which I also represent. So I didn't go out of my way to create an inequity for some malicious purpose, I don't want this to be a situation of animosity. There's very entrenched interest in local government that have an interest in the status quo, and I want to shake things up, and I'd certainly like to force a mechanism that's going to drive us to look more outside the box. I think this is the only thing that will force us to, in Anchorage, to look at something other than just property tax. That's an editorial. And another thing I would object to is every time I hear the term frivolous appeals, I don't think any citizen that is redressing a concern with their government is frivolous. I mean, what is more important to the average homeowner, to the average Alaskan or American, than their home? It's their major life investment. I don't think they consider anything to do with their castle as frivolous, and it's the I think it might have been from the Kenai Peninsula before when I objected to the term frivolous, maybe it's just so such a part of the culture that I really object to that it's almost a slap at the average person that's very frustrated with government. I just know how frustrated my mother was going through that. Again, I had no idea I was going to be in the middle of that anecdote. With her case, I don't want to starve local governments any more than I want local governments to starve homeowners. And I think there's a balance. I definitely, talking to local governments, they expressed concerns about having this not only to residential, having it not apply, having it applied other than just residential. You're going to take away our pipeline taxation or major infrastructure that's a part of the tax base. I probably couldn't look at Mike Chenault back there. We're going to take all the oil tax properties out of your school district and limit your ability to tax those. It would have inimical effects. So I'm trying to be responsive. I just draw another criticism, and I'll work on my history with Ms. Wasserman, but. It seems like there's a friction that we have different goals and different values. But I'll certainly work on trying to get to something that this committee can deal with that might be a rational mechanism. I'm not wed to 2%. As I said during my first testimony, that's a starting point. I want to look at whether in the packet, whether it's called circuit breakers. That's been an interesting concept. I'm wide open, and I'm really I wanted to hear some public testimony, and I really wanted the committee to maybe tell me to go do some different work in a different direction. Do you acknowledge there are some issues with property taxation? We might be able to have some maybe other approaches that we've talked about, other than just a flat 2%, the draconian, which I think it probably is draconian. I really want to get to some type of movement so that we're looking at the average tax, the average homeowner right now. They're faced with a lot of challenges that they didn't expect. I don't expect to sell my home. It's really not much value to me. And at $24K a year, I don't get a lot of people excited about lending me money, so home equity loans aren't that exciting to me. I mean, that's just my personal situation, and it really doesn't excite me that my home's going up in value. Maybe about 30 years from now it might, but and you throw energy increases on top of that for somebody that's in a fixed income, boy, I can't even imagine trying to deal with that. And that's, we're going to probably hear from some of those in another bill tomorrow in finance. I think there's a lot of intertie. This is one other thing I was going to say. I hear that it's been a horrible experience for California. That was a citizens' initiative. I haven't heard that California has made any measure to repeal. Citizens haven't flocked forward to the ballot box to repeal what they did. So I think there must have been some satisfaction in putting the choker chain on government, although in an imperfect methodology. So I wouldn't just discount what other states have done as failed experiments. Going back to that, I'd sure like to have this done in a rational process with thoughtful committee members and a committee process rather than a ballot box initiative, which frustration and a lack of attentiveness would lead it to. And that's why I'm glad we have folks that like here that around this table that want to look at it and have these types of hearings. So those editorials, multiple questions.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Stoltz, you said that you wanted to hear from committee members and that was what you were looking for, and so I feel like that's an invitation.
Absolutely.
and I agree with you 1,000% on how important my little home that I've had for almost 30 years is. And I feel exactly that way, that it's my castle, and I was in the working poor most of the time that I was paying it off, and it was increasing in value. So I'm right there. I know exactly how what your sentiments are, and equitability is just incredibly important, and the fact that there are folks that didn't do much and they get a lot, and there's people who've worked many hours and double jobs and get very little for it, and we want to try to take care of those people, and I am right with you on that. I'm very concerned about this specific legislation because, in fact, I have been visiting other communities and comparing them with my own. And I must tell you that having gone now to 52 communities in Alaska and comparing them with my own, we live wonderful lives here because we have a municipal government that gives us nice roads to drive over, good schools, all of the amenities that other places in the United States have in abundance. And many of the places I've gone are having an incredibly difficult time surviving, and it's the municipal governments that are the ones that are failing the fastest, and people are being forced into situations that are really hopeless. And those places around Alaska, and we have representatives from some of those places, have a real value to our government here. They bring in, they're part of the people who produce the renewable resources in, that we have and the natural, all of the natural resources around the state. We want those governments there. We want those people there developing and ready to be open for business. And I'm afraid that if we don't make sure that the people who need that relief get it, and not sock it to the governments that make it possible for those people to live there so that they have some kind of amenity, that then we do our state a great deal of damage. And I'm sorry to be so lengthy on that, but really strong feelings. Thank you.
Any other comments from committee members? Representative Ledoux.
Well, I was just going to say in response to your comment, Representative Sisna, that so many of those communities that are struggling, that don't have the amenities that folks here in Anchorage have, those smaller communities, many of them don't have a tax base in which there is property taxes. So I kind of think that your comment might go more to a need for revenue sharing, because the property value of the property just isn't there to tax. And then,
Representative Ledoux.
You know, in listening to this testimony, you know, I really am convinced that there is a problem with the property taxes. I'm not sure this bill is the solution to it, but I think, okay, if you start out with a nest egg of $50,000 and you put it in property, real property, and that real property goes up by 100, 200, 300%. So now from $50,000, let's say you're talking about $300,000. So then you're paying property taxes on that. But if you put that same nest egg into the stock market and your stocks go up to $300,000, well, you're ultimately going to pay a tax on it. But that tax is only when you sell your stock. So, again, I suspect this bill isn't the way to do it, but I think there are some problems that we have with property taxes, and I've been in municipal government. I'm not against municipal government. I know municipal government needs funding in order to survive, and, you know, I think if this bill were passed, I suspect what you'd see is, okay, so you can't tax or the assessed values are limited, so then the mill rate goes up. I don't know what, at this point, I don't know what the solution is, but I know that the property tax itself seems to me to be pretty basically an inherently unfair tax when you compare it to somebody who's, instead of buying real property, they're doing stocks.
Thank you, Representative Ledoux. With that, I haven't seen anyone else join us. Is there anyone in the audience that's new? I haven't seen anyone. Representative Stoltz, did you have a brief follow-up on that?
Yeah. I appreciate the acknowledgement that there's a problem. I think we all know there's inequities, and I'd sure like just some general direction to work on something and to bring back to you if I could get that. You know, throw you a draft and see if it's something that you might have. I have an interest in if it bicycled around or whatever process, if I can get to reaching some of the concerns, and including the folks that have testified from the state and the municipalities. I think you heard from the testimony there's some barriers we may not be able to break, that, but I think we've made some progress today. And, you know, I don't I appreciate have Sisna's comments, but I really don't think government can really produce anything, and they don't create things. The government really can't give anybody anything unless they've taken it from somebody else first, as we all know from being participants in that. And it's the rural areas that don't have property tax. They also, many of them, don't have strong economies, and that's a whole other problem that I hope we can collectively address. But on the issue of the mill rate, I'd sure rather have a mill rate increase than an assessment, because at least there's an open and public process that's much more transparent than assessment increases. It's a lot easier for those of us that have concerns about the growth and the rate of cost of us to be allowed to own our own homes is spiraling, and that's just one of the components. At least the mill rate, I can just walk down the street to my assemblyman or to call up in Eagle River to the other one, and they have to make a conscious, your elected policymakers have to make a conscious effort to increase that. We have unelected officials that are increasing our taxes through the assessments, and that's a fundamental policy concern for me. You know, whether or not it's being manipulated, I'm not going to suggest that, but I, certainly in some cases, you know, I guess I'd dreamed about living in a $250,000 home. I just didn't think it'd be mine. So, I can sympathize with Mr. Betts said. My home, I built it myself. It's my sweat equity. Gosh, I just spent a lot of yesterday working on reseeding the lawn and working on the deck. I thinking, oh man, I'm gonna get cranked up again on property taxes for being a responsible neighbor and keeping my place up.
They just asked me if I was selling because I mowed the yard and.
That's a really ugly dynamic that. But there was one big developer in Eagle River. He never put the siding on his house because he didn't want to pay the extra taxes. anyway. With that, I really appreciate the dialogue, and I pledged actually to bring something before you that so you can look at as committee chairs and members and see if maybe we've taken a stride. I think this problem is not going to go away. I just have to come up with more creative solutions, acknowledging the input of folks we've heard from, because they bring up very good concerns. Some of them aren't attainable, but I think a lot of them we can bridge.
Representative Ledoux.
I'm thinking out loud right here, but what about some sort of concept that a municipality could not raise property taxes without the consent of the voters? I think Oregon may have something like that.
If I might.
Just throwing it out.
I'm there.
I appreciate the concept. Mr. Van Sant, did you have a comment on that? I saw your head moving. I'm not sure if it was up and down or sideways, but. Representative Stoltz, we appreciate you bringing both bills forward, and I think that we all recognize and have heard, whether it's at a local level or at a state level, that people's property taxes and the burdens that they are carrying are increasingly difficult. I can sing the same song. My zero lot line went from 140 3 years ago to over 205,000 this year. It's just over 1,400 square foot. So I understand the difficulty. Coming straight out of local government, you have made a difference already in bringing this forward. The appeals fee process did not originally start out in this way, and I understand that you have a philosophical reason of due process and why you're bringing this forward. What those of you who are listening today may not know is that we had a very extensive presentation from the Municipality of Anchorage last time on the appeals fee and the process that they go through in trying to assure first at the counter that anyone's complaints are taken care of, and then second, what a difference it had made in appeals that didn't move forward and the load that the city was carrying. And I understand that is contrary to the position that you're taking here today, but that the city of Anchorage is challenged with the appeals process, and rightly so, compared to the people that, to reflective of the people who spoke with us today. So we appreciate you bringing that forward. I'm not sure where we can point you in a direction to do, but I just want you to know that you have affected change already at the municipal level. Myself, I have contacted the municipality of Anchorage. I believe Mayor Mark Bagage has done an editorial that somehow alluded to that he would be okay with a $200,000 exemption, and so go forth, Mayor Bagage, and conquer. That is a possibility for you to do at a local level right now. It is a local issue, and it's under a voluntary program that you could increase inside of the municipality of Anchorage up to $200,000. We had people testify before us in previous sessions, specifically in the Kenai-Saldotna area, that have an unlimited exemption right now, and the challenges that that particular municipality is facing in trying to curb assessments there. And so there are challenges in different communities throughout the state, and this committee is trying to balance. We are called Community and Regional Affairs, trying to balance the needs with the local communities and how they're collecting dollars, as has been proposed unfairly by property taxes, or fairly, but it is the system that we've allowed. Representative Ludu's comments, we could go into state statute, Representative Stoltz, and look at repealing full and true value, because that has been part of the challenge now. And as we increase property tax values at true and fair market value, the city of Anchorage, I can't speak to other areas, but the city of Anchorage has a decreased hit in every exemption that we have. And so previous public testimony before this committee has talked about full and true value and how that is affecting the local school districts and the impact of the state not stepping up to the plate and actually funding some of the unfunded mandates that we require cities to do at a state level. And so those are certainly opportunities that we can go back and look at. So we appreciate you bringing these forward. We have heard this committee has moved one of the bills that could, if it passes, reduce property taxes. It's more of a shift onto commercial property to pick up the burden for municipalities, and that's the voluntary $20,000 exemption moving to $50,000. We have discussed and met with our state assessor talking about the circuit breakers, and we have I have called the municipality of Anchorage, especially for our seniors that are carrying homes, or anybody who's carrying a home that is going to lose that investment because of property taxes. The state law does allow an appeals process with particular criteria that you meet so that you wouldn't lose your home and that you would only pay a certain percentage in comparison to your actual annual salary. And so there are ways. The municipality to date has not been receptive at moving that forward. I have sent multiple emails telling them that Matt Sue, I believe, has that one in place so that their people who have invested, their constituents who have invested in real property would not lose that because of taxes taking that away. So the committee is handling many things that affect community and regional affairs, but it is a balancing job that we take very seriously, and this is the second time that we've heard this, and I expect the debate to continue on what's best for individuals. So thank you all for joining us this evening. It is 6:20, and the Community and Regional Affairs Committee is adjourned.
Thanks, David.